No moment of fear, not an instant of doubt, followed Catti Bree out of Iruladune. In the days she had spent there, the century on Toril, she had danced the movements of Mialiki and sung the song of Mialiki, and so it was with great understanding of the goddess and great confidence in the eternal circle of life itself that Catti Bree had stepped from the forest to begin her floating journey, to find the womb, to gasp her first breath in her new body, reincarnated, reborn. It happened on the night of the spring equinox, the holy night of Mialiki, the night of the birth of the goddesses chosen. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, the infant seemed fully helpless before the adult humans milling around in the tent. But even though she could not move her arms under the tight wrappings, Catti Bree instinctively understood that there remained at her disposal several potent spells she could utilize to defend herself, Dwyamers that needed no movements to enact. Unlike her friends who had similarly journeyed from Iruladune, Catti Bree had taken no infantile confusion with her. The instincts of childhood gnawed at her, of course, but because of her communing with the goddess, she was better prepared for this journey by far, and more knowledgeable and thus able to keep those penetrating pangs and desires in their proper place. Good fortune had followed her as well, for her mother, she heard the name Kavita spoken tenderly by her father and others, doted on her, lifting her often and holding her close. That is, when Kavita wasn't passing the baby around to the other women who flocked to the Bedin tent, all wanting to cuddle with the newborn. To the Bedin tribe of the Desai, the birth of a child was a grand celebration indeed, and Catti Bree, Rukia they called her, was the center of that play. She wisely held silent throughout the pawing and the cooing and the continual conversations directed at her, just inches from her face, for she understood well what had happened to Wulfgar when he had been reborn, and feared that she too could forget herself and spout some actual words. And so, like her journey in the first phases of her departure from Iruladune, the baby who was really a woman lay back and observed, and let the beauty of the experience grant her insight and more knowledge. Many times in those first days did Catti Bree silently give extra thanks to Mialiki. Only a few days later the tribe was on the move again, Catti Bree swaddled tightly as always, strapped to her walking mother's back. She strained her eyes, focusing on the land as the miles rolled by, trying to get a feel for where she might be. Patient and observant, the baby learned and watched, and when she was alone in the dark of night, she prayed and she practiced, perfecting her little voice so that she could again sing the notes of Mialiki. She regretted the tight binding of the cloth wrapped around her, though, and feared that it would take her some time to properly perfect control of her arms and legs. But she had time, she reminded herself.
She's beautiful,
Kavita said to Niraj as she stood by Rukia's cradle. The night outside was dark and quiet. Even the wind seemed to have drifted off to sleep.
But her eyes are so blue. How can that be?
They will darken with age, Niraj assured her, as did mine.
And so her hair will fall out?
Kavita asked, teasing her bald-headed husband.
No,
he said, moving near and placing his hand gently on Kavita's bare shoulder and feeling, as he did, the raised skin of her long scar. He bent in and kissed her there, on the shoulder blade, where she had been marked so dramatically by the whip of a Netherese enforcer who had heard a whispered rumor that Kavita was practicing magic. That one had learned the hard way that Kavita was indeed a wizard, and so was her husband, Niraj, who had laid the man low with a bolt of lightning. How pathetic the brutal enforcer had seemed then, trying to work his arm and snap his whip from his back in the sand, sand Kavita's spell had then dug out from under him, and which had been abruptly put back, only now atop him, burying him alive, by the subsequent enchantment of Niraj and Kavita.
She will have the thick tresses of her mother, I am sure, Niraj added, running his hand through Kavita's hair.
He could feel the tension within his wife.
What troubles you, my love?
The Netherese are everywhere,
Kavita said.
With every pilgrimage there are more to be seen, shadowing us from the hills, stopping and inspecting and questioning, always questioning.
They are sand crabs, Niraj agreed, who came uninvited to our land. Our land, I say, and we will be here long after they are gone, when the winds of Anorak return and the land of Netheril is long forgotten.
By then we'll be long forgotten,
Kavita replied.
But our descendants,
Niraj replied, nodding his chin toward their baby girl.
We must take care, special care,
Kavita said,
for Rukia, more than for ourselves.
Niraj didn't disagree.
They were wizards, but secretly so, for the Netherese rulers of this land had forbidden the Bedain to practice the art.
Kavita looked around, left and right, then focused her gaze on the tent flap for a few moments, holding silent and craning her neck, listening for any intruders. With a glance at her husband, she bent over the cradle and unfastened the ties, loosening the swaddling cloth. She pushed the fabric aside and pulled forth Rukia's bare left arm, lifting it a bit and turning it so that the meager candlelight would reflect off the inside of her forearm. Niraj sucked in his breath. He had seen the birthmark before, or at least had seen what he hoped was a birthmark. But now there could be no doubt. For this was no ordinary birthmark. A distinct figure, resembling a seven-pointed star, was set in a circular field of red.
Spell scar?
Niraj asked, seeming confused, for he had not heard of one quite this distinct before. Kavita pulled out the baby's other arm and turned it to reveal the inside of the forearm, where a second marking loomed.
A curved blade? Niraj asked, and peered closer. Nay, a horn! A unicorn's head! She is twice marked?
And her scars will be harder to conceal.
She should wear them with pride, Niraj insisted.
The Netherese would not agree.
Damn them! We are Bedain, not chattel!
Kavita put her finger over her husband's lips to silence him.
Be at ease, my husband, she quietly coaxed. We are free upon our land. Let us not be bound by our hatred for those who claim dominance. Claim, but do not truly hold us in chains.
Niraj nodded and kissed his wife and pulled her across.